going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I don't feel super convicted about a Will Campbell to where I would take him over Ashton Jeanty or Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland and maybe even some of the defensive ends. Like, I don't see Will Campbell as Joe Alt or Penei Sewell where you got to draft him, you know, like, because there is the arm length stuff and people can laugh at it, but there's not a good left tackle in the NFL with under 33-inch arms. Just, it doesn't exist. It's 33 and a half is probably the best in the NFL right now. That's Rashawn Slater. So there's not a precedent for that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Matt Miller. He was on with the afternoon show, and he says that's a big deal.
It is to some people.
Yeah, it is.
And you respect everybody's evaluating criteria because different people use different criteria. Okay. Will Campbell, to me, is one of three players that I believe if we come in here Friday morning and we're saying the Bears selected Will Campbell, Ashton Jeanty, Mason Graham, all realistic possibilities. Some things would have to fall into place. I would be overjoyed if you're a Bears fan, if that were the case.
I'm just trying to think if you have already traded for, signed three interior offensive linemen, mm-hmm. and you add a left tackle via the draft.
You have totally changed your franchise.
You've changed your franchise completely.
Because you have prioritized what you could say was the position that was most important in the Super Bowl, to the Super Bowl reigning Super Bowl champion. The offensive line, it's a way to look at roster building in a way that they haven't really done at Hallis Hall in years.
It would be, especially when you have a quarterback that was sacked 68 times.
You've got the quarterback, though. That's the one thing that's different about this draft, different about this offseason. You have that position answered. You have the toughest question addressed. So now you look at what else do you need? Well, you can't win in the NFL without a franchise quarterback. You believe you have one of those in Caleb Williams. Now you believe that you're rebuilding and revamping your offensive line. And if you come in here Friday morning and we wake up and Will Campbell is your left tackle of the future, along with the three guys they signed in free agency and traded for, then you are talking about a legitimate plan that you can justifiably look at as you're a playoff team. You're a playoff contender. And with the idea of being a Super Bowl contender in time.
You can't have the best offense in football, and you hired the coach that produced the best offense in football the last few years, without having a significantly better offensive line than the one the Bears fielded.
No doubt about it. Otherwise, you're just a fancy sports car with no engine.
That's right.
And you can't turn over, and it won't start, and you can't get it going. So I think that if you prioritize offensive line in this first round of the draft, totally understand and get that. I would love it to be Will Campbell. If it's Kelvin Banks Jr., we'll have to have a conversation to see what that is on Friday morning. But I ask you this, Mully, because I do think this is something I thought about, you know, in the week that I was off and hearing all these draft conversations, certainly in Chicago and around NFL cities. The Bears draft 10th Thursday night. It is the Super Bowl. Can't wait. Draft night. Yes. I love it.
Yes.
Friday, they have 2 second-round picks.
High second-round picks.
39 and 41.
That is very good.
Historically, when you look at the Bears' second-round picks, they have hit big time. Their collection of second-round picks, really since this turn of the century, since 2000, you look at guys like Mike Brown, Charles Tillman, Devin Hester, Matt Forte, the list goes on. They historically have better luck drafting in the second round where you can get day one starters, decade-long contributors. Which day is bigger to the Bears this season? Thursday night drafting 10th or Friday drafting 39th and 41st?
That's a very good question because they have two, you know, to have two of the top 10 picks in the second round is huge.
Huge.
Because it means that you're going to be able to, as you say, perhaps get somebody that's going to lock up for a decade. The other thing is that, you know, the first round pick, getting that pick right is how you build good football teams. You've got to be correct on your first round pick. So I think a 10th overall pick in the draft, that should be a guy, especially if you're drafting someone on the offensive line, that should solidify a position for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
That should give you like a really good position for a decade. I think that what's interesting about this draft is the depth of the running back position, if that's what they decide to go with in the second round, the depth of the defensive line position, if they want to try to get a pass rusher in the second round. I just feel like they have the opportunity, and as we mentioned when we started the program, that they will be getting three players before 24 teams in the NFL get their second player.
That's a really interesting statistic when you try to evaluate what this means to the Bears this season and moving forward, because they are supplementing themselves in the roster in a way that other teams are unable to. So it's all, everything's relative, but the Bears are really, after a very productive free agent offseason, and not just free agents, but trades, they are in a position to add three more starters before every other, add one more additional starter than other teams can, just by virtue of having 2 second-round picks, yeah, as high as they
huge.
Are.
And that's why I don't want them to mess with those second-round picks. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to take both those picks.
Well, you don't want them to trade up. That's what you mean.
That's what I'm
you don't want to. And I think it will be tempting, perhaps, to trade up and use one of those second-round picks as part of the package to, say, move up to 4 or 5 or 6 if the idea is, well, by some speculative reports, Ashton Jeanty. I wouldn't move up to get Ashton Jeanty, but if he fell to you at 10, I would rush to the podium to make the selection. I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's likely to happen. But I think I agree with you. Two second-round picks means that you should use them. I don't think that you should use one of them to move up in this draft, not this one.
And in the scenario that David gave us, they not only are choosing a left tackle in the draft, but they have their pick of the tackle position. So it comes down to, are they right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple kind of arithmetic where, you know, you're going to draft the first at a position, get the right guy. It's that simple. And there are people, I have a friend who's in the NFL who believes that Arnaud Membo can play left tackle, and it would be a really good left tackle. But there is no proof of that, whereas Will Campbell has played it at a top level in the SEC.
You drafted 10th. That's not a place for experimental choices.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to take somebody at 10 and change his position in the NFL, which is why I also don't like the idea of drafting Will Campbell 10th and moving him to guard. I don't think that's why you do that there. I don't think you would do something at that spot that involves anything except for a plug-and-play scenario. You want somebody that's ready to go day one. You want somebody that's going to be making an impact week one. So that is what you're looking for at 10. Not to, well, we think that he could project as a, no. You project maybe second rounders. You project fourth rounders. You don't project 10th overall selections.
See, like when I think they should get a really good player at 10. when I think of like the kind of worst scenarios, it's that no one's fallen to them. It's that they, you know, they get their choice of the second quarterback, which is the last thing you want. I just feel, mm-hmm. and that's a possibility even in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like I don't want them forced into taking a position. See, this is a position that is one of need as well as a first choice of the of that position of need. I mean, there's a lot to like about this scenario. I just feel like if they're in a position where do you really go that early with the third tackle take, like I don't know that I would approve of that.
I think you're right. I would not be in favor of taking the second even offensive tackle off the board necessarily. If Will Campbell goes before you are on the clock, then I think that you have to take that into consideration, even for Kelvin Banks Jr., which I think the highest I've seen him mocked is to the Bears at 10.
Yes.
And I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, taking the second, if you have the first choice at another position.
A lot of people have taken him to the Bears at 10.
I saw that.
But I think that's because there was this understanding that the Patriots had to get protection for their first-round quarterback.
They've got their own needs.
But if indeed they believe that Genty is that good and they're going to jump the Raiders, that's fascinating to me.
Love the draft conversation, and you can tune in tonight at 6.
Yes.
And right here on The Score, The Score's draft preview show, Mark Grody, Anthony Herron. What do the Bears do at 10th overall? Who should they target throughout the second and third rounds and beyond? The guys will dissect at 6 to 9 tonight right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Let me ask you this. The tight end conundrum.
Right.
You have Tyler Warren from
Penn State.
We yep. know about him. We know about what Ben Johnson thinks of him as a football player, the most complete guy perhaps. But
tough football
player. You start to hear as we get closer to Friday and Thursday, Colston Loveland's name come up because of his route running ability.
More explosive.
And hands.
Yep.
Just a real NFL style tight end, much in the profile. You hear the comp of Sam Laporta. We love our comps, don't we?
Yes.
During draft time, everybody wants to find the next Laporta, the next whatever to associate with the play caller for the Lions the last couple of years. If you're the Bears and we come in here on Friday and we're talking about them taking the number one tight end off the board, how would you feel about that? I think it strikes me as a luxury pick.
Well, first of all, as I said, I'm on board with their first pick. I've decided that I'm not going to hold any grudges against people for past performance. I am thinking of it as the pick that the general manager is not picking alone, that his boss, the coach who makes more money, is kind of – as a coach, you can't be trying to – I'll take the fifth round. That's not how
There's no doubt about this, though.
Okay.
There's no question.
So I'm this not is, going against
this. This is Ben Johnson's pick.
I also want to say, and this is an unpopular thought, but there are a lot of people, some on this show, who believe the Bears don't need a tight end. You know, we know – that Ben Johnson in Detroit was in two tight end sets more than anybody else in the NFL.
Who are you pointing out? Not me.
I didn't say it was you.
You said on this show. Oh.
I don't think I ever said they don't need a tight end.
I don't think that he said that either.
The only thing I said is they don't need a quarterback. No, that's what they don't need.
But Dustin, you said that they should use the tight end they have more often. And I don't believe that is necessarily the case. I like Cole Kmet, local guy made good. I'm not going to badmouth him. But if a guy hasn't been productive for a couple of years because they're not throwing the ball to him, that's on him.
Well, there's we're going to find out. I think this was about like which guy do you think makes the biggest jump with the addition of Ben Johnson as now the head coach / play caller.
Mm-hmm.
And again, obviously we all want it to be the quarterback. That's who needs to make the most significant jump. But I'm saying taking the quarterback out is not an option for the answer to the question. My answer was Cole Kmet. I believe in Cole Kmet. I believe he was underused. We're going to find out. And let's put it this way. If they do draft a tight end, which David just called a luxury pick, which I would not disagree with, that might be very telling of what Ben Johnson thinks of Cole Kmet.
It could be. I think you're right. But I don't think that you can afford to buy luxury items in this draft when you still have a hole on your offensive line at left tackle?
If you're choosing between a premium position, which is what a left tackle is, versus a tight end, there's no choice. If Will Campbell is there, you don't take Tyler Warren.
But
it doesn't matter how much you fall in love with the guy.
I think you're exactly right. I don't think that's as big of a debate as if would you prefer the number one tight end versus the number two offensive tackle.
Or third offensive tackle. That's what it is with me too.
Because
if he gets two offensive tackles off the board and the two best tight ends are sitting there,
the question, that's exactly right. The question becomes, do you overdraft a tackle? Because taking the third offensive tackle at 10 is overdrafting. As opposed to taking the best tight end and how good he can
make. I would be more inclined to trade back under that scenario.
Yeah,
if Will Campbell,
I think that's fair.
Ashton Jeanty, and Mason Graham are gone at 10, and Membu is off the board, and it's either draft your third offensive tackle on the board or trade down.
Do we agree?
I would trade down, probably.
Do we agree they will come out of this draft with a tight end?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that I'm there yet. I don't think that I would be committed to that I think it's more of a luxury.
Come out of this draft with a running back?
Yes. I'm more convinced that they'll end up with a running back in your top four of your top 72 picks. You have four of the top 72 picks.
Yes.
I think just based on what we know about the Bears and what we have read about some of these reports in the pre-draft stuff,
mm-hmm.
they're more likely to end up with a running back than a tight end. I have more certainty in that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. But I guess what I'm saying is if Ben Johnson wants to take a tight end at 10, I'm going to be on board with that.
You're
tight
inclined
end
to trust him. Yeah,
I am inclined to do that.
I'm fast forwarding to Friday morning. We come in here and Tyler Warren's the pick and there might have been Kelvin Banks Jr. on the board. I'm going to be able to justify that decision.
I agree.
Because you trust Ben Johnson, because he's got the Super Bowl vision. And if he envisions Tyler Warren catching a pass to clinch the Bears NFC Championship against the Eagles in 2 years, then okay, I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy everything he's selling.
I agree. I think we're all kind of in the honeymoon period with the guy. I don't think he's going to do bad. And I feel like if that's what he believes he needs, then go get it. I also wonder, and I doubt anything like this happened, but we often see teams go offense 1 year and then try to go defense the next year. They obviously used their first two picks last year on a quarterback and a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. If they want to go defense this year, they got a new defensive coordinator. I'm not saying that they've promised him you'll get a pick of whatever lineman you want with the 10th pick. But if there are guys that they had earmarked or thought were going to be there that aren't, it is certainly possible that they could. And would it shock the world if they took a pass rusher or an interior defensive lineman? I think that they need to come away with that position out of this draft. Both positions.
Well, I think so. I think that's fair. I don't know that you would assure Dennis Allen of anything.
No, I don't think
Not when your head coach is the brightest offensive mind that was on the market.
Exactly.
This is still an offensive-driven offseason.
But I don't know what the coach told him is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he said, hey, don't worry, I'm going to get you everything you need.
The coach told him is, we're going to draft players that are going to give me a lot of leads that you can protect.
There you go.
Well, how about the word, though, right? We keyed on this last week. Dennis Allen, we heard from the coaches last week mm-hmm. for the first time.
Yes.
And he said he used the
good
word
start.
So far.
Good start. He used that term.
Right. And so that I didn't know
Which
if that
we've
was a little
been
bit
using.
Of a tipping of the hand, right?
I thought that was good.
Every coach wants everything.
Yes, that's very true.
Every coach wants everything.
But I mean, yeah, if Ben Johnson decides to take a tight end at that spot, God bless him. Let's stand up and applaud and hold our breath until
the next Ditka.
See that happen. We need the next Ditka. God.
Tyler Warren, the coach. Can he wear 89?
But some people like the kid from Michigan better.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he might be more explosive.
If Ben Johnson likes him better than Tyler Warren, I will like him better than Tyler Warren.
There you go.
Chicago will feel Friday morning.
Didn't we learn that Dennis Allen liked Tyler Warren? Didn't know how he would defend him.
I know.
especially with this group of bums you gave me. Hey, he never said that part out
loud. Let's talk to Bruce.
We're going to talk to Bruce next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring. Aturo.com. Check them out. Good morning, Bruce. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Kind of middling results yesterday. Cubs lose a tough one. White Sox pull one out. Where do you want to begin?
I think we start with the Cubs, because I think the Cubs, I know they lost yesterday, but they had two-game victory going there and won another series. And I think that you know, as difficult as the schedule has been to open the season, boy, they're scoring some runs. I know they only had four hits yesterday, and maybe there was an opportunity to get a sweep, but you got to love what you're seeing from them thus far.
Well, you know, you see the impact of a star player, okay, and just the at-bats that everybody else takes. Now, I'm not taking away from what the individual batters besides Tucker have been doing, but the reality of having a star in the lineup, and that particular day, you know, Craig Counsell talked about this again yesterday, just having that guy and the pitching people preparing for a game, how are we going to pitch around Tucker? How are we going to maneuver if he comes up in a big situation? This is a big difference compared to the team that they've had the last few years. The Cubs really only had a superstar for 3 months back in 2023 when Bellinger was at his best. But, you know, from the perspective of having stars, Cubs really haven't had him since back in the Baez, Bryant, and Rizzo day.
Bruce, I wanted your perspective on the Athletics report ranking the top front offices in baseball, polling 40 coaches and executives. The Cubs did not receive a first-place vote. They weren't in the top 20, for goodness sakes. And I know that people can dismiss that as it's just a bunch of guys, it's just a poll and a report. But I wonder, do you think that stuff matters to Tom Ricketts? Do you think that's that kind of respect or lack thereof has any sort of impact on the way that Jed Hoyer and ultimately Carter Hawkins will be evaluated?
No, probably none. I don't think that they, when an owner or top organizations out there looking for a new general manager or president of baseball operations, I don't think they go to other presidents of baseball operations to find out who to hire.
Oh, I beg to differ. They did with Theo Epstein. I mean, Theo Epstein was a guy. I mean, he was obviously regarded as the best executive in baseball. But when you're doing your reconnaissance,
was the Boston Cub connection, and it was the front office.
But the respect of other organizations and what they think of what the job you're doing, I do think it matters. You don't?
I really don't. I mean, I think that the what the body of work is for the individual is way more important than what his peers' opinions are. You know, they're again, you know, who were these people? Okay, were they identified in the report, and you know how they felt about them? I don't think it really matters that much. The Cubs went out and got Theo Epstein because he was considered to be, you know, the top young executive in the game. They went out there and they paid him a ton of money for a ton of years. They got results for 5 or 6 years, really great results, a world championship. That's how they went out and did it. Now, talking to other owners, you know, or other, you know, top presidents of business and other companies and other organizations, I think that's where it's at. That's where you find out about people. That's how the Cubs got Epstein.
I'm just curious when you look at the way they've played, given the difficulty of the schedule, are they ahead of schedule? Do you believe that they're a better team than you thought they were? How do you explain the offensive production throughout the lineup? And I know you said that a great player can have that kind of impact, but you know they got three guys that are among the top 10 in WAR right now.
You see the maturity of Pete Crow Armstrong. You see the maturity of Bush, who has already had a good rookie year. These two rookies, if you watch their bats closely, they're so competitive, hitting the ball everywhere that it's pitched right now, hitting the ball to the opposite field. You know, you saw prime examples of that throughout the weekend, you know, Bush having some really important hits. You saw Pete Crow Armstrong, you know, hitting the ball hard to left field. They just, you know, they have a plan. They have the confidence in their ability to be up there, foul off tough pitches, hit other pitches to the opposite field. I think, you know, it's really the bottom of the lineup that's had such a huge impact on the Chicago Cubs that there's no real weak spot. I mean, even when guys like at the top of the order like Happ have struggled, there's been a lot of people there to pick him up. And to Happ's credit, even when he hasn't hit and Swanson hasn't hit, You know, they've gotten on base, they've scored runs, you know. So, again, it's been a collective effort, and the entire lineup has produced.
All right, Bruce, let's switch to the White Sox because a lot of news this morning. They placed Chase Mydroth on the 10-day injured list with the right thumb inflammation. That hurts based on the start he was off to. And Martin Perez, not a big surprise here, placed on the 60-day injured list. So I ask you this, in light of Mydroth being on the injured list and Martin Perez going on the 60-day and likely, you know, jeopardizing his season essentially, do you expect that to accelerate the progress or how quickly one of the three prospects at Birmingham, the pitching prospects, Schultz, Hagen Smith, or Grant Taylor come up to Chicago, and or same idea with Colson Montgomery, who's been hot lately, coming up instead of Mydroth?
Bring up Elko.
Elko, you know, has been a really nice story. I would just say that they need to give these guys time to really be down there and dominate for a while. That the you're asking a great question because you're weighing the need of the team at the major league level against the development of the young guy. And then you'll say, well, can't you develop him at the major league level? That's a lot harder because difference between Triple A and major leagues huge right now. So, you know, again, Carroll coming up, Mydroth coming up, really good signs, you know, something to really watch, you know, as far as the future and what's going on right now. But pushing these young pitchers up before their time, I just don't think they're quite ready yet. The problem for the White Sox right now, and they have many, is that they're not getting any length in pitching, even from their good young starting pitchers, okay? Nobody's going more than 4 1/3, 4 2/3. They haven't had a start more than 5 innings out of anybody other than Martin twice over the last 10 days. So that's a problem. And they're in the middle of 13 in a row and 25 out of 26 games with only one day off. So there's no rest period for the White Sox or the organization to continue to find more pitching, even to the point where I know you're disappointed to hear that they're, you know, they've taken Clevinger back to AAA and they're stretching him out as a starting pitcher.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, don't even get me going. Hey, Bruce.
I always ask you, Mully, if your arm's ready or not.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to back to pitching in a second. I just want to ask you this question. The Sox are 2-13 against everyone in Major League Baseball not named the Boston Red Sox. They're 3-3 against those Bo Sox. Why do the Sox have the Sox number? Why, how do you define? They actually are a 500 team if they just play Boston, but everybody else kind of ruins their year.
Is it because announcers doubted them?
That's a legitimate question.
All I tell you is this: it's nice that they have 5 wins right now. Okay.
Yeah, they're really a week ahead of schedule from last year.
Yeah, so are they, let's see, 5.
It happened on the 20th, and it was 27th last year.
I think they averaged 7 wins a month last year, right? Just a one game shy of 7 wins a month.
Will they get there this April?
They have to get 2 more. I mean, again, a lot of people believe that the type of bad they are right now is a different type of bad. That's for other people to judge. You know, I would just say that.
Explain that.
Well, how better young players like Mydroth, like Carroll, like somebody that, you know, you can look at and say, this guy is going to struggle, but he's got a career on the south side of Chicago. He's got a career in Major League Baseball as a starting player or as a starting pitcher. You look at their rotation and you say, okay, they're struggling. They're struggling to get to 5 innings. But is there quality within the games that they're pitching? Are they improving as they go along? So these are the things you normally watch at AAA that you're watching at the major league level with the White Sox.
Back to the Cubs for a final moment, Bruce. Friday's game ranks where on your all-time Wrigley Field moments in terms of outcomes?
Oh, gosh. It's got to be in the top 5 for everybody that's watched a lot of games, right? I mean, that was just, you know, seeing somebody score 10 runs off of you and winning the game. Okay, it's just like that's just incredible, and just the way they went about their bats and, you know, the fight that they had. You know, the one thing you like the most about the Cubs is, you know, whether they lose 3-2 or they win 13-11, they seem to have the same quality of bats. You don't look at them and say, like you did last year in May and June, and say, they're down two runs and after six, how are they going to score again? Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what we saw last year in May and June. When we don't see that team any longer. They always feel and they always look like they have a chance to win. For the most part, they have. I mean, they haven't lost a series except for San Diego since the beginning of domestic opening day. It's pretty good. It's really good.
Bruce, I want to get back to the pitching question that David asked you. When we spoke, I think it was a week ago or it was last week at some point, about the idea that the Sox used to bring up guys like Burley, like Sal, mm-hmm. like whomever.
Crochet
is another one. Yeah. As relievers and then use them, stretch them out, and eventually make them starters. What would be wrong with taking a Grant Taylor, taking a Noah Schultz, taking your best players and bringing them up now as relievers? If they're limited into how much they can pitch as starters, why not get like a strong pitched inning out of some of these guys? And then now all of a sudden that helps your bullpen. And all of a sudden that helps, you know, there's this incredible difference between your starters who are a bunch of guys that are trying to spin it. And then you got power arms coming in. It might actually lift this team a little bit, and you're not throwing any bullets in Birmingham.
Bruce, what say you?
I agree. I don't see anything wrong with it except for the fact that they're young pitchers. First thing that Chris Getz will say is, well, we got to get them at least some innings in the minor leagues first before we bring them in, even as bullpen guys. But I think it's a good idea. You take it over to Clark and Addison, and you say, is that also Cade Horton, right?
Thank you.
So I mean,
yes, please.
In this day and age, and as important as the game is in the bullpen, it's not a bad idea.
So are you going to then tell Chris Getz to make the Birmingham Project the Chicago Project?
Yes. The Mullet Project. Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah. I would say that's a great idea. But – you know, seriously, the idea for young pitchers to come through the bullpen, it's a really good one, especially with big arms like the guys have. Again, it's weighing getting them work in the minor leagues as opposed to coming out, you know, maybe every 3 or 4 days in the bullpen during the major league season.
We just fixed the season.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Missed you, Bruce.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Right.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've said it 100 times, and yeah, I love it here. And you know, I'm a pretty mild-mannered guy, and you know, if I look a little sad on the bench or something, maybe people can take it out of context. But you know, I think anything can, you know, get said to me. I mean, I don't really look at that. I don't really see a whole lot of that unless someone shows me. And but I just think, you know, I think people that know me know that I love to be here.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thought of you last week, David, when Connor Bedard said that and when the season ended, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, it was tough, season. And I filled out my NHL playoff bracket if we want to get to that later. I know we won't. But anyway, Bedard saying that he loves being in Chicago, his comments not being taken out of context, what he was saying was that he looks forward to staying here and building with talent around him. So when they do win, all of this losing will feel more worth it. It will be worth the struggle. And they are struggling mightily. Nobody's going to deny that. What's interesting and why we're leading with the Connor Bedard nugget coming into the segment is because there could be some movement, maybe, because the Hawks need a coach.
They got that guy out in Denver. Well, University of Denver dude.
Frank Saravalli, who does great work for CHSN, Chicago Sports Network, and is a hockey insider, he reports that David Carl is the front runner for the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks have him at the top of their list. Carl is currently the head coach at Denver. Did not win a national championship this year because Western Michigan did that over your Boston U Terriers, or what are they? Whatever they are. But David Carl, two-time NCAA national champion, three-time, he's got experience in junior championships. He's definitely coached some of these Blackhawk young players before as prospects at Team USA. David Carl's at the front of the list. There are other teams that are looking for coaches. I think the Rangers fired their coach. The Ducks are looking for a coach. There will be competition for David Carl, but I think the Blackhawks can throw a lot of money at him, and he would be a young, upcoming he would coach to grow with this group. He would be viewed, if he came to Chicago, as Hockey Ben Johnson.
Well, that would be awesome. I mean, Ben Johnson, though, was an assistant coach in the league. This is a guy making the jump from college to the professional
game. Yeah, I might be exaggerating a tad. But
I'm not saying he can't do it. I've heard great things about
the reason I mentioned Hockey Ben Johnson, because I do think he'd be one of the more hotly pursued candidates in this coaching cycle in the NHL. So there's going to be other there will be other teams that will want to see if he's willing to jump from college to the NHL.
How many Original Six teams are pursuing a head coach right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think that you've got the Bruins.
Because you don't have a lot in the playoffs, right? Is there one team?
No. I mean, Canadiens.
Yeah.
No, the Maple Leafs.
Oh, the Maple Leafs.
Maple Leafs. So they won last night. They won last night, the Leafs. Oh, my gosh. Were they hot?
Against the Sens? Come on.
Talk more hockey.
And the Jets are the big hope to end the drought, right? Aren't they the best of the Canadian
teams? Well, I think they won the President's Trophy, but that's a kiss of death.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Since you asked, I picked the Leafs to win the East, and I picked the Oilers to win the West, and I picked the Oilers to beat the Leafs in the NHL Stanley Cup Final.
Wow, man.
So the curse is going to be broken one way or the other.
I
think you may have gone over the top.
No, I didn't. Yeah. You sound like my son. He's like, you did what? And I said, these are the same picks, as it turns out, as some of the other hockey analysts that I heard, you know, share theirs over the weekend.
I think someone needs to jack up some tariffs on the Canadians and stop you from this anti-American stance of yours.
No, I think that this is their year. I think the Leafs, the best case scenario for the Hawks is the Leafs get knocked out in the first round and Mitch Marner wants to get out of town and they sign him in free agency. That'd be a good scenario for Chicago. David Carl, top of many lists, and I think that he is a guy that you could see growing with Bedard and company. And company is the big part. Frankie Nazar had a terrific year. Oliver Moore is a guy that's, you talk about the speed.
Skates fast.
The speed that Bedard said that he's going to work on this offseason because he wants to keep up.
Yeah, he said that. He actually said there's a lot of speed players now, and he thinks that's their identity moving forward.
And if Frank Cervelli says that David Carl is at the top of the Blackhawks list, you can believe it because this guy is plugged in.
Frank Cervelli reported last week that Carr wasn't necessarily scared off by a team in a rebuild, but he wanted to make sure that he felt that the rebuild was heading the right way.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a good little nugget. I think given how many picks the Hawks have and the youth with which they have put on, they play with on the roster.
They've stuck themselves.
They need veterans that can help the youth grow.
I believe the term you're looking for is utes.
Utes. Okay.
They need the utes to grow quicker. All right. Well, it is time for us to bring in John Heyman.
John Heyman's going to join us. We're going to stay on CHSN until 9:30. We're building a bridge to White Sox baseball.
Beautiful. Love it. Let's stay on CHSN for the rest of the day.
Let's do it.
You would love my day. It's going to be so much fun.
Can we do like morning workouts?
We'll do
11 and 12.
We'll do my workout and we'll have that. We'll watch the game. It should be like moments of breakout. Like
screen in the lower right corner. Molly, work it out.
You stink. Whoa.
All right, we got to go.
Molly and Haw on the score.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.